Well, good evening, y'all. Welcome to Centerpoint, our midweek refresh. It's a little bit different in here, isn't it? But it's good to be together for prayer. And I thought I would lead us in our prayer devotion as we think about our prayer time from Psalm 27, which is talking about God's intervention. Thank you all for your flexibility and moving in here tonight as we accommodate what's going on in Jackson Hole. But I'll read Psalm 27 in its entirety and just a few comments on it as we pave the way for prayer. Guys, thanks for distributing the prayer list. Does everyone have one that needs one? Okay. All right, Psalm 27. This is where the psalmist sings, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, or for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Well, we see two things here briefly. First is confidence in God, and the second, which is very closely tied in with that, is crying out to God. We cry out to God on the basis of our belief that he hears us, and we are confident in him because he has heard our prayers before. As we know, David had many enemies that pursued him from time to time. We think about Saul going after David. We think about his own son Absalom leading a conspiracy, a revolution against him. David had his share of enemies, and he turned to the Lord when his enemies went after him. And we can do that as well. He says, "The Lord is my light." When we feel that we are in the darkness, when we don't quite know how to put one foot in front of the other, when the way before us is cloudy and we can't really see where we ought to go, the Lord himself is our light. Not just a source of direction for us, but his very presence itself is our direction. He is my light when I'm in the dark. He's not only that, though. He's also, David says, my salvation. He's not just the one who gives me direction from his word, as true as that is, but he himself is my salvation, so that there is no salvation outside of the Lord, outside of his presence. So he's my light, he's my direction, he's also my salvation. He's the only one who can save me from my sins. So the question is, the rhetorical question is, whom shall I fear? Which is a wonderful, unanswerable, almost defiant question that David throws in the face of his enemies and all the things that oppose him. Whom shall I fear? It's the Old Testament equivalent of those wonderful words from Romans 8. If God is for us, Who shall be against us? He who did not withhold his only son from us, but freely gave him up for us, how shall he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Thanks. So it's the wonderful logic of the gospel. If God is on our side, really, what do we have to fear? And we see this over and over again when Old Testament saints are delivered. I think of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. We will not follow what the king tells us to do because he tells us to disobey God. But even if God does not deliver us, we will still not bow the knee to the king. And so they trust in the ultimate vindication, the ultimate deliverance, even if it doesn't come in this lifetime. They trust in God's ultimate justice to be done. He goes on to say that even when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, it's almost this sense that they are wild animals who are pursuing him. He says, I will not fear. Even though an army camps against me, my heart shall not fear. So I will be confident in the Lord. And we see as he goes on that what he is taking refuge in is not the side benefits, if you will, that the Lord offers, but really the Lord himself, his very presence. David is taking refuge not in what the Lord can do for him, but in the presence of the Lord himself. He's finding his refuge. He's finding his stronghold. He's finding his fortress, his deliverer, his strong tower in the Lord himself. So he seeks refuge in the presence of the Lord. So all of this leads him to seek the face of the Lord, not just to seek his ear in prayer, not just to leave his laundry list at the Lord's feet and ask for things that he wants or needs, but to seek the face of the Lord. What does it mean to seek the face of the Lord? We think about that beautiful Aaronic benediction in the Old Testament. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the pleasure of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. So there's a sense in which seeking the face of the Lord means seeking the full covenant love and blessing of the Lord. Not just seeking stuff from the Lord, but seeking his full blessing, his peace, his joy, his covenant love and loyalty. So the Lord offers a gracious invitation in verse 8 here, where he says, the Lord says, in a general way, seek my face. He offers that invitation to everyone. Seek my face. Seek the blessing that only I can give. And the psalmist has to respond to that gracious invitation, and he does so in the second part of verse 8. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. We have to give a heartfelt and personal response to the Lord's invitation. When he invites us to seek his face, we must respond personally and specifically and individually and with our whole hearts and say, your face, Lord, I will seek. I resolve to seek. Nothing is more important in this world than seeking your face and seeking your blessing and seeking your presence. So there's a very specific response that the psalmist gives to the Lord's general invitation. Seek my face. We must say with the psalmist, your face, Lord, will I seek at all costs, whatever it costs us. I will seek the Lord's face as my top priority. I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things will be added to us. So there's a wonderful response there. And then towards the end of this passage, he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That's a wonderful sort of gracious sandwich there, if you look at it. If the verse only said, be strong and let your heart take courage, it would almost sound as if he's saying, suck it up, be stoic, put up with whatever comes, just keep going because you're strong and you're good and you just have to keep going in spite of your feelings. That's not what he says. The reason for us to be strong is not because we have strength and resilience in ourselves, but it's because the Lord is gracious. So we're told to wait for the Lord. And it's only because we can wait for the Lord and never be disappointed that we can be strong and let our hearts take courage. And that's why he says it twice. Wait for the Lord. And in light of all the Lord has done for us and can provide for us, we can be strong and let our hearts take courage in the gospel. So he ends with the same refrain, wait for the Lord, wait for the Lord. It's because we can confidently wait on the Lord, call upon him, seek his face, and receive his blessing that we can be strong and be resilient and to keep going in the face of struggle and trial. So with that in mind, let's turn our attention to prayer.